O Mother, O Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated in Himself as Lord Shri Krishna, just to unload your heavy burden. All His activities here are transcendental and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of His presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The activities of the Lord include liberation, but they are more relishable than the pleasure derived from nirvana or liberation. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the word used here, nirvana nilambatani, that which minimizes the value of liberation. To attain nirvana, liberation, one has to undergo a severe type of tapasya, austerity. But the Lord is so merciful that He incarnates to diminish the burden of the earth. Simply by remembering such activities, one can defy the pleasure derived from nirvana and reach the transcendental abode of the Lord to associate with Him, eternally engage in His blissful loving service. Narayan namaskritam naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayat mudirayet nasta presu badresu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavati uttamas loke bhakti bhavati nashtaki. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada gives quite a few examples in terms of comparing the merging into the Brahman and attaining relationship with Krishna. So one of the examples he gives, if someone is in the inhabitants of the sun globe, for him to be part of the sunshine is not very important. It's insignificant. So, in the same way, to be related to understanding Krishna's pastimes with His devotees is much higher than just being in Brahman. And examples are given, like one can be sitting in a chair by himself in a room, but how long can he sit in a chair for? He may find some peace and quiet, but how long can he sit in a chair for? Because we are social beings. We have, we like to be around people and do activities. So so that's and like he says in the Prabhupada, Krishna's activities are very relishable. They give the highest pleasure. Actually, the living entity in his real best interest is in relation with Krishna. Example can be given, just like if someone's in danger, they can, the first thing they do, they look after themselves, then they look after other people. So the question is asked, why would one look after oneself first? The answer is given that you look after yourself. For someone on the body platform, they look after the body first because they find the body is very dear to them. So why is the body dear to them? Because the soul is within the body. But on a higher platform, it's explained how why is the soul dear to one? Because he's part and parcel of Krishna. So ultimately, Krishna is a dearest object. So going deep into understanding of our relationship with Krishna, then we can, even being in the material world, we will not be affected by the miseries of the material world. It's given how even if a devotee goes through difficulties in his life, as soon as he turns to this, sincerely turns to the scriptures and he prays to Krishna, then the difficulties go away. There was a few stories I heard in Navidindrapa, which has a few stories back to God that I read yesterday. There was one person, he felt very, he didn't feel part of society, he felt out of society, he felt odd. So he could see his friends were going to school and like this, but he didn't feel happy, you know. He felt something was not right for him. Something was really out of order for him. So he decided to give up his life. So he went in this car and he put the exhaust, connect the exhaust and on the engine and close the windows, right? And this way leave your body, right? So one devotee was going by. He knocked on his window, the car window, and this person was so frustrated, he said, "Leave me alone, go away." So as the devotee was going, he was thinking, actually maybe this person needs help. So he put a Transcendence, the book called Transcendence and Civilization. He put it on the windscreen. So this person was thinking, why do before I leave my body, before I die anyway, before I kill myself, let me read this book. Maybe it'll help me. After he read the book, his whole mindset changed. He thought, actually, I thought I was the odd one out. Everyone is what they're doing. I thought I couldn't fit into their lifestyle, but actually, they're the odd ones out. So then he went to the temple and he joined, became a devotee. And there was another story which he told. This was in Russia, I think. There was a person who was a burglar. He used to steal things. So he went in one house, and he heard a noise. So he quickly ran out the house. He tried to pick up whatever he could, and what he picked up was a Bhagavad Gita as it is. So after reading the Bhagavad Gita, he had no interest in spirituality or philosophy or nothing, but he thought, anyway, since I stole it, I should read it now. So after reading it, he became a devotee. And then he started going to the temple and go to chant Hare Krishna and be with devotees, hear the philosophy, take prasadam, and become a devotee. The thing was, his father was in charge of he was in charge of this group who was stealing, you know, like how the gangsters. And the wife was getting worried, thinking that what's happening to my husband? He's becoming too spiritual, and he's not bringing enough money. So the wife was going somewhere and his devotee was giving books out. So out of so many people that he could have picked on, he picked on her. And he gave her a teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So she thought, and he told her, actually, this book will help you to achieve perfection. So she's thinking, out of so many millions of people, he approached me. There must be a reason for this to happen. So I must read this book. So she read the book cover to cover. And after that, she became a devotee. Then they threw the Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanda Sitaram Hanuman Gronitai Ki Jai. Then after becoming devotees, they threw the father-in-law out of the house because he wasn't willing to change. He was still wanted to carry on with his being a gangster, so they threw him out of the house. So these, from this we can see how these books are like time bombs. And like Prabhupada said, I didn't write these books, Krishna wrote them. So by reading these books, people get a change of vision, get a change of heart. And even we can see how the personalist feature is higher than the impersonal feature. Like, once someone becomes a devotee, it'll be hard for him to become an impersonalist again. Because we can see in the material world there's variety. And variety doesn't just come about from, it comes from a person. It doesn't come from just some energy. Some person is behind it. But the problem with the impersonal is that they're trying to turn everything into zero. They don't make everything without any value. But and Prabhupada gives an example. He says, just like a devotee, he can get nine vegetables and cook for the Lord nicely. He can cook nice things for the Supreme Lord and take nice prasadam. But the impersonal is he avoids good eatables. He avoids trying to renounce. So he suffers more. So it says there are a few people who, this is according to the prayers of Sama Bhattacharya. He defines four people who don't get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So he says, let's see if I can, let's see. Those fools bereft of receiving the mercy of such a compassionate Lord are the sinful, the drunkards, those suffering material miseries, and those who are averse to the Lord and His representative. So, let's see. Okay. So this is from Brihad Bhagavatam. It gave me some vision on why sometimes devotees go through fall downs and for Krishna has a higher reason. Shouldn't advanced devotees, in order to deliver world from ignorance, let everyone see their greatness? Yes, but the so-called anamaranis, behavior of Vaishnavas are like Bharat Maharaj, is in fact their way of teaching sadachar, civilized human behavior. By the example of their own lives, they show the consequences of violating the laws of God and material nature. For if people fail to learn how to act according to civilized standards, their hearts will remain contaminated by sinful desires, and they will never become inclined towards the Lord's devotional service. So, so we can see how Srila Prabhupada, he emphasizes reading his books. There's a conversation between Hegrive and Srila Prabhupada. He says, Prabhupada said, if someone hears Krishna Katha regularly, he discusses, then he'll come to the mode of goodness very quickly. Whereas the other path is where someone does austerity, does sacrifices, goes pilgrimage. These things will take time to come to mode of goodness. Whereas hearing and chanting about Krishna will speed up the process. And this is also, found a quote somewhere, let's see, 225. Okay. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.11. This is, Yat sanga labda nijavirias vibhuve manam titam mohun stampate sitam imanesanam hatta ajoneta sutabigato nijanam kova nasutvete mukunda vikramam. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda is all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibration, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes one's bodily contamination and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? This is resonant of Deja Jambu Deep offering prayers, this canto. So, So we can see, concerning the sinful, which is obvious that they're not following any principles, so they get karma for it. Bad karma is there. Even those who are into piety, unless they meet a devotee of the Lord, they can't take to spiritual life. And that's given in the story of King Niga, how King Niga was so much into piety. Somehow or other he served a devotee of the Lord. This is given in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, how he made a temple for this devotee, established a residence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship of Krishna like this. So that devotee blessed him, in this life you'll get to see Krishna. So in the purport to that verse is given how even when Krishna saw King Niga, when because he was giving cows out, so one cow he gave, that same. Yeah, so the cow he gave to the Brahmana, that cow came back to King Niga and he gave that same cow to another person, another Brahmana. So the Brahmanas were arguing, they were saying, that's my cow, you can't take it and like that. So King Niga, he tried to patch things up by saying, I'll give you 100,000 cows each. Don't fight over this cow. And they won't agree. So then King Niga went to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj, he said, you don't love piety. You can have that or you can enjoy your simple credits first. So King Niga said, oh, give me my simple credits. So he became a lizard. So when the Pandavas went to Prabhas, Gangotri, right? They went to some holy place, right? No. It's in the Krishna book anyway. They went to... So the Pandavas, they were trying to get the lizard out, but they couldn't. Then Krishna went and touched it with his hand, and he turned into King Niga. So the King Niga, he even when he met Krishna, he had some pride within him, thinking that I'm from a Brahmana background, and some pride was there. He's given in 10th canto. He was glorifying himself in certain ways. He says a great personality doesn't glorify himself in front of other great personalities. So then he begged Krishna's permission to go back to the heavenly planets. So it seems from this pastime that even doing piety, one cannot achieve Krishna's darshan unless one comes in touch with an advanced devotee. Like King Niga came in touch with an advanced devotee. So, now, concerning drunkards, they unless they get the understanding, like Prabhupada said, if they can see the taste of beer as being tasting Krishna within that, then they'll get purified. Prabhupada said that in the teaching of Queen Kunti, he says like that. If they see like that, then they'll become advanced devotees in the future because they're seeing Krishna within what they're drinking. But generally, this intoxication, it takes over your body, you know. It doesn't make you think like that. It actually destroys your subtle body. So ghosts enter and take over. So that's the defect. That's the thing behind drinking alcohol and things like that. So sinful drunkards, then those who are suffering from material miseries, those who are not willing to follow scripture. In the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is given that those out of laziness, stop following scripture, they get affected by the modes of nature. So then they suffer material miseries. And then those who are averse to the Lord, there's a pastime actually, I spoke to Fakir Mohan when he was around. He left his body now. He was with Golgovinda Maharaj. He told a nice story how one time Lord Chaitanya went to Orissa and he went to this family. Orissa is famous for worshipping Shalagram Shilas. So this family, they were offering raw grain to the Shalagram. So Lord Chaitanya, he cursed the whole family to become elephants. And in the time of Rasikanandan, when he appeared, he preached in Orissa at that time also, later on. He made an elephant into a devotee. There was a wild elephant going around this kingdom. It was destroying everyone, harming everyone. The king couldn't do anything about it. So Rasikanandan approached the elephant and made him into a devotee. So... But this elephant was from that family who Lord Chaitanya cursed to become elephants. So by the elephants becoming delivered, all the family became delivered also. We can see the contrast between how strict Krishna is in his approach and how merciful devotees are. And then, and last one is not representing, respecting a representative of the Lord. So, there's a letter I found interesting. Prabhupada given an analogy in his letter how corporation is important to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. So far as your fraternal quarrel is concerned, I may recite in this connection one story. An old father required massaging, so all the children wanted to serve the father. The father divided the right and left portion of his body to be served by the children. Later along with the service, there was some quarrel between the children, and they were competing by hitting the parts of the father which was assigned to opposing party. So the father said that you are hitting my different parts due to your opposition to one another, and I am therefore dying. Similarly, either this department or that department, if you quarrel amongst yourselves, it will be detrimental to my missionary ambition. Please therefore stop this unnecessary strain. If there is any misunderstanding, it will be resolved when I am present in April. In the meantime, please be peaceful and things may go on as it is going on. So, any comments or questions? Okay, go on this.
Thank you for your nice class, Srinivas Prabhu. You mentioned about how even a drunkard can see Krishna in the activity that they're doing, or the Lord in the activity that they're doing, and they'll get some piety. You also mentioned about how one, through that intoxication, one can destroy their subtle body.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that also the case for the other regulatory principles? Is that also the case for the other regulatory principles, also like gambling and meat eating and illicit sex and so on? So is that also the principle followed for those regulatory?
I would think this heavy karma does come in. It does affect, but especially it affects. But generally, you see with people who drink a lot, they lose it, isn't it? They can't function. Like I heard a story, like in South Africa or somewhere, there was a devotee doing books. And he approached a drunkard or something, and his drunkard punched him in the face. He didn't realize what he did. But later on, when he recovered, he realized what he did and came and apologized to the devotee. So it seems like when drinking, it does take away your intelligence. And all these regular principles, if you break them, there's going to be heavy reaction. But I've seen also, like, for example, like, if in these other things, like Daya Baladev, he told a story how someone owned a fish and chip shop, and a devotee was thinking, should I go inside and give him a book? He gave him a book. After reading the book, the Sankirtan devotee went there sometime to catch up on the details, and he found out that the person sold the shop. It seems like there's more, people are more in terms of understanding things properly, but this drinking takes away, you can't think properly. And
Krishna, I was talking to an aspiring devotee in the congregation, and he was talking about how when he talked with people about that he likes to follow Hare Krishna, but he also likes to speak with Mormons, you know, Sikhs and things like that. He likes to discuss spiritual matters, and except he says sometimes they get offensive, you know, about Hare Krishna, because he told them how he followed it, and he's very simple-hearted actually. And he was wondering what to do about it, because he says he gets so angry when they start to criticize the Hare Krishnas. And I said to him, the one thing that really to look after that person and look after yourself, because anger is no good. It hurts you as well. So what you've got to understand is you just got to say, oh, excuse me, I think I've got to go to the toilet. Or, excuse me, I have to leave now. And always excuse yourself from those compromising situations, because it's not good for the person to blaspheme, and it's not good for you to hear it. So, you know, this is a... it's just something to remember. This is why we don't preach to people, isn't it? It says in the offences against the Holy Name, we shouldn't preach to those who are just not interested, because it will cause offence either to you or to both of you. And so we have to be really aware of who we're preaching to and find... To not deepen their blaspheming, you know. And it just occurs to me that, you know, you can try, but directly you feel that there's going to be an offense, you make an excuse to leave that place, you know. That occurred to me, because, you know, it's the opposite effect of glorifying, isn't it? You know, it's...
Yeah.
And so that just occurred to me when you were speaking about you give an association, but sometimes you can't give it, you know, because it will not good for them and not good for you to hear.
The Prabhupada would say sometimes just give them prasadam.
Yeah.
That's prasadam and holy name.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
Yeah, prasadam is very good.
And the holy name. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, thank you, Srinivas.
I think there's someone who's got a question behind.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class, Prabhu. I just was a bit confused because you were quoting and you mentioned how, you know, the list of things where people are bereft from Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and drunkard was one of them. And what about Jagai and Madai? They were drunkards, but they got Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And I'm just curious about, you know, different devotees that may have been drunkards previously, but they've become devotees. So how does that work?
The thing is, if someone is Jaga Mada, didn't make offenses to devotees. And I mean, they were doing very heavy things, but at the same time, they were Jaga and Mada as well, you know. I mean, they were like Jay and Vijay. In previous time, they came as... the mercy of the Lord is available to everyone, but it's like some people are like owls, they don't want to see the sun. So obviously, you know, Lord Nityananda, being the Supreme Lord, he knew that these two are like open for the mercy. And he chose them, that these are the proper candidates. If I can deliver them, others will follow. There was a lecture I heard, Srila Prabhupada lecture, 16-6, Dublin, 1975, 1st January. Prabhupada speaking about the demoniac nature. And the question was asked to Prabhupada, before someone becomes a devotee, does Krishna know that? And Prabhupada said, yes. So, but Prabhupada also emphasized that it depends on Krishna's response according to one's surrender. Ye ye tamam prapadyante tamse bhajamiham. But Krishna knows what level that person is going to surrender to. So, the onus is on us, and also how open we are for the mercy, Krishna knows. So, you can't. Prabhupada said, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. And it's like these pastimes which happen when Lord Chaitanya comes, it's like when a king goes anywhere, he doesn't go by himself, he goes with an entourage. So obviously, Jagga and Madhav were part of Krishna's entourage. They came in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to assist Lord Chaitanya in his mission. Kanama Kanan Maharaj mentioned a point in one of his classes. He said, in Lord Chaitanya's time, there were some scholars. They knew something on Lord Chaitanya, but they weren't open for his mercy. Whereas Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, although they had become ministers in the King Hussein Shah's government, but the fact that they were open for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Lord Chaitanya saved them. So it seems from this example that the mercy is open for everyone, but some choose not to accept it, and some do. My mic is behind you.
I've mentioned it before when I was trying to distribute books in Watford, and a gentleman came out of a pub, and I approached him, and he looked at me in my garb, and he says, "What are you doing to me?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to distribute these books. Would you take one?" And he said, "Look at you. You're nonsense." And of course, that's the phrase the Prabhupada uses quite often. So I just laughed. And he says, what are you laughing at? I said, "Yes, I am nonsense, but I'm trying not to be nonsense." And then he calmed down because I laughed. And then he started to talk. And then his friends started to come out of the pub and they saw him talking to Hare Krishna. And he says, "Oh, sorry, I've got to go now." I said, "Can I give you a book?" He says, "No, but anyway, just take this donation."
Okay.
Just like that. That was his first step.
Okay, I get it.
It was really nice. And you don't have to get angry back. But it was really interesting. And, that was his blessing because he gave a donation. So you never know how things are going to think, even when they're abusive to you sometimes, If you laugh,
But it seems like you created his good fortune because by speaking to you, he gave you a donation.
Well, you've got to try anybody, haven't you? I mean, that illustrated, actually.
Yeah.
And Lord Nityananda insisted on trying.
That's it.
That was his endeavor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his mercy. Anyway, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Bhagavatam ki jai.